Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. You know, we've been in a low interest rate environment for quite a long time now, and it's been so persistent that it has changed investor behavior significantly. Where earlier investors would routinely diversify their portfolio between a balance of stocks and bonds, now because of ultra-low interest rates on bonds and the rocketing stock market, it's led to an exodus from bonds to a combination of cash and investments that offer higher yields such as dividend stocks. But many of these income-seeking investors must know that this flight to yield comes with its own set of hidden costs and risks. So today I plan to bust some popular misconceptions so my listeners can make better informed investment choices. The idea for my talk today came through an article titled Income Seekers, These Myths Could Come Back to Haunt You by former guest on my show and friend Christine Benz, who's Morningstar's Director of Personal Finance and a well-known author on personal investing guidebooks. Christine writes, quote, a chronically low interest rate environment breeds confusion about what we're supposed to be doing. And the current ultra-low interest rate environment is messing with our heads. Said well, Christine, said well. So I'm going to jump straight into addressing the three myths that Christine highlights. Myth number one, if rates rise, you're always better off buying individual bonds than bond funds. Now, the logic that most investors have on this is that if they buy a creditworthy corporate or government bond, they will receive interest payments at set intervals, normally every 6 months, and they'll get their entire principal back at the bond's maturity date. We all know that to be true. And I can see how this surety is enticing, especially if you're getting a decent rate. But corporations know that investors are hungry for inflation-beating yields, and they see this as a great time to offer long-term bonds at low interest rates that are still enticing enough for yield-hungry investors. This way, corporations lock in capital at really low rates, but investors are on the losing side of this transaction because they're locking into low rates for long periods. This means that you'll miss out if rates rise, and you'll be subject to what is called opportunity cost. I see some people buying 30 and 35-year municipal bonds at 3% tax-free. To me, that's a very unattractive and unappealing kind of investment, and has all kinds of risk wrapped up in that kind of a move. Now, if rates rise, the lower rate bonds are going to lose value, and psychologically, you may deter an investor from exiting that position. And your upside is capped because rates really can't go down by too much anymore. So individual bonds are not really your best bet right now because rates can only pretty much go up from here. On the flip side, if you buy a bond fund, fund managers have the ability to exit low interest rate bonds and move your money into higher yields as rates keep rising. So what you can earn in interest in a bond fund in a rising rate environment often trumps individual bonds. Now, I know there's arguments on both sides, but I want you to take this into consideration. In today's rate environment, the advantage is with the borrower, not the lender. So if you're looking for a mortgage today, you would be a borrower. It's in your favor to take a 30-year loan at less than 4%. And if you're a bank, watch out, because if rates rise, you're going to be stuck with a pretty low rate. All right, moving on to myth number two. Dividend-paying stocks are safer than bonds. Now, over the past few years, investors have dumped bonds and flocked to dividend-paying stocks, and they've been rewarded handsomely with dividend income and solid capital appreciation, especially if they got in around 2008, right at the peak of the financial meltdown. But while high-quality dividend stocks are a safe trade over the long run, stocks will be stocks over the short run, meaning they're going to be subject to the vagaries of the market. So if you need to pull your money out in, say, less than 10 years, you run the risk of having to do so when stocks are down in a manner that could potentially wipe out your income and the capital appreciation gains that you've spent so many years earning. And while dividend stocks have been the darlings on Wall Street, they've begun to lose some of their shine on talk of rising interest rates, That's because a 2 to 3% dividend yield could well be had with added safety of a bond in a rising rate environment. So, dividend stocks are directly impacted by interest rate increases and will most likely lose more value in a rising rate scenario. Now, over time, stocks do a pretty good job of beating inflation, but it can be a rough ride, and that ride is not for everyone. All right, myth number three, cash is safer than bonds. Undoubtedly, cash is king, especially if you need it for near-term expenses like paying your property tax or your groceries in retirement. But if you have a longer holding horizon, cash is a horrible place to be because it loses purchasing power each year to inflation. So don't stay in cash until interest rates rise, but put your investable cash into a combination of short-term bonds that you can exit when rates rise and stocks that you plan to hold for the next 10 or 20 years. And always maintain a diversified portfolio that will serve you well and protect you should there be a downward move in the stock market. You know, in the investment world, we consider any investment less than 1 year in maturity and that is liquid to be the same as cash. So don't be fooled by CDs, which may offer you a 1% yield for a 2 to 3 year investment. After taxes and inflation, you're actually earning a negative rate of return, which means you're losing money. And that creates wealth destruction, not wealth creation. So if you're going to get your money to work as hard as you do, make sure you're investing in things that become more valuable in the future after inflation, after taxes, and that's the best way to become financially independent.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.